The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in the mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. One should, for example, be able to see that things are hopeless and yet be determined to make them otherwise. F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Dialogue.
Good evening. My name is Garland Nixon, and I am here with
Mark Levine
and
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
You are not F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Voltaire. I thought it was Voltaire. A minute ago, it was Voltaire.
Terry D. Kessler.
We have a schizophrenic here.
Little discussion about the best of all right, possible Sybil. Worlds. And anyway, speaking of the worst of all possible worlds, tonight we're talking about the teabaggers. And not just the teabaggers. We're
going
to break like national news here. The teabaggers' connections to neo-Nazi groups.
And white supremacist groups and far Christian rights.
Oh, gosh.
And militias and violence and gun nuts.
But first, I have to let our listeners know, we are right here at Ben's Next Door. We're right next to Ben's Chili Bowl, which is where Nicolas Sarkozy was today.
Yeah, in fact, he's in the audience. He really is.
I come to think of it.
Nicolas, bonjour.
Hello, Nicolas.
Bonsoir, bienvenue. We're glad you came to see us. Yeah. That's my English friend.
Yeah, that's good work, buddy.
That's good.
So, at any rate, if you want to check out the show live, there's plenty of time. We're just starting. Drive over here to Ben's Next Door, which is right next to Ben's Chili Bowl. Great food, a great time, great people, and hey, a great show
How
to check out.
How come you're getting served champagne or whatever that is, and we're
no,
not?
No, it's actually sparkling water.
I think he knows somebody.
You know how we elitist liberals are with our sparkling water. We can't drink the rest.
Where is my Chablis?
Where's F. Scott?
Where's my Prius? Wait, isn't that the delivery?
Prius driver.
Right.
And your arugula?
Arugula, right. Arugula. Just spill water on me. What is this?
It's glad to see
that. This is a live show.
Yeah,
okay.
It's glad to see that we're focused.
You know, come
guys.
To think
you know,
of
really
it,
like
weren't we doing a radio show?
I don't know.
Let's talk about...
We actually have a very important topic.
Yeah, we're talking about the teabaggers. We've discussed this on the show.
We're going to talk about why I'm holding Garland's water.
Right.
As you all know, the Tea Party movement has argued that their positions are all based on politically related issues, taxes and the deficit and things that never seemed to bother them until Barack Obama became president.
I think you're giving them a little more articulateness than they usually give. As I recall, Sarah Palin, their self-proclaimed leader, said recently, reload.
That
doesn't seem to be about taxes. But go ahead, Garland.
Okay, so
let me
throw this out here, and I'll get to you guys. There is a website that's called stormfront.org. A little bit about this website, very briefly. It was started by one former KKK Grand Wizard named David Duke, and it's now run by a former KKK Grand Wizard named Don Black, which is interesting, isn't it? Don Black. I thought he'd change his name to Don White.
Change his name, yeah.
Don White. But at any rate, so old Don Black has this site, and basically it has 40 or 50,000 users. It is the top hate site. They actually have their Hitler page with pictures of Hitler.
I don't think they're advertising on our show, Carl.
No, I doubt that very much. So, at any rate, I mean, we're like all their enemies, a black, a Jew, a liberal. I don't think they're real happy with us, buddy. I don't think they're listening right now. I hope not. How's that?
Yeah, well.
So, at any rate, my point is this. They have forums where they talk about, and I'll read. This particular forum is called Events, White Nationalist Demonstrations, Rallies, Conferences, Talk Shows, Media Interviews, and other places that Mark and Terry and I will not be attending. So on that, in that forum, I'm going to read a little bit of a couple of the posts that particularly caught my interest. The first one, they start off talking about... the Tea Party, and some guy says, I saw something about it today on one of the cable news channels. Seems like there are going to be a lot of people, blah, blah, blah. The other guy gives the taxdayteaparty.com, and then they go on to talk about it. Well, some of the members say, I'm already involved. And one of the members at this neo-Nazi hate site says, we are hosting one at the Tupelo City Hall in Mississippi on Saturday, April 11th, 2009.
Tupelo, Mississippi, huh?
Okay. And I am helping organize another Boston Tea Party in Prentice County, Mississippi on tax day. I am proud that so many people are finally waking up and speaking up for lower taxes. Another one says, this could be the start of a new third party, and it would be good if it opened the way of getting rid of our problems once and for all, rather than just another political puppet of the Jews and a new mask for Jewish rule. I'll be at the one in Richland, Virginia. This is a golden opportunity for us people Leave the flags at home. That will come later when you have thousands of pissed off people to pick from your white nationalist group.
And happy Passover to him.
Yeah, right. And oh, this is the last one, because I don't like to do a lot of reading on air. They start suggesting what they should do and how they should work the crowd at the Tea Party, okay? This particular individual is very bright, and he has a lot of good ideas. He says, you might want to move them from conservatism and mild anti-liberalism and anti-colored sentiment to more pronounced dislike of the liberals, blacks, and other scum. Then, from liberalism, you can move on to communism, crimes during World War II, and eventually the Jews. And he actually has a signature where he says, there are two kinds of people in this world, those who know what the Jews have done and those who do not. These are people who are organizing Tea Party events. We have observed people, and I don't think it's an accident that they picked a civil rights icon to spit on. I don't think they just, out of the blue said, oh, well, who do we want to pick? There's no accident. They picked a civil rights icon. They cursed at this guy.
Actually, I think what happened, Garland, is they called John Lewis the N-word, they spit on Eldridge Cleaver.
They spit on somebody else today.
It's important to know who's getting spit on.
So let me get to you guys. Yeah. So there is definitely a tie between the neo-Nazi white supremacist movement. We see people with guns. They're having this the Second Amendment rally, which was originally called the Million Gun March. That's going to be on the anniversary of the day that
Timothy McVeigh
blew up the building in Oklahoma City.
You know, to me, that says it all.
Mark,
that just says it all.
Fill us in. Is there a problem here? Should we be concerned? How's that?
Well, you need to add one more thing. We have some so-called Christian militia groups who recently tried to kill, and maybe did succeed in killing some police officers. They tried to kill some police officers.
They had planned.
I'll just throw this in real quick. Richard Poplawski, he was the guy who, in Pittsburgh, who murdered three police officers and tried to kill nine others. He was a loyal member and poster at this particular site, stormfront.org.
I guess I look at it this way. I think that anytime you have a mass grassroots movement, you're going to get some really awful people joining and running these movements. The important thing, and to me the part that's really horrific, is the Republican Party's failure to distance themselves from these people. Let me give you an example. When George Bush was in office, I attend a lot of anti-Bush protests. I attend a lot of anti-war protests. Mm-hmm. When we saw groups from the Communist Party come in, we would make very clear, they're not part of us. They may disagree with the war as well, but we are not part of them. We disagree with Bush. We disagree with torture. We disagree with the war on our own front. The thing that I find horrifying, see, it doesn't surprise me that neo-Nazi organizations are around. It doesn't surprise me that white supremacists are loud and angry. What surprises me is that the Republican Party is refusing to distance themselves from these organizations. And that's the thing that I find really, really most surprising. I mean, here you have Michael Steele, the putative head of the Republican Party, who says, these are just a few crazy people. These are just a few bad apples. Why doesn't he say very clearly that violence and racism has no place in the Tea Party movement? Just say that. Is that so hard to say for Sarah Palin?
Well, apparently it is. I mean, they're afraid that's their base. Terry, fill me in. Is there a problem here?
There's a huge problem here, and it's a very frightening problem, and I think we have to take it very seriously. To begin with, you've got to understand that there is legitimate anger in the country. I'm not talking about the teabaggers in just a second, but there is legitimate anger in the country. There's unrest, there's dissatisfaction. People sort of have a real deep-seated sense that it ain't exactly like it should be. Perfect example, just a little thing in the paper today, the median income in D.C. for whites, $100,000. Median income for blacks in D.C., $39,000. I mean, there are problems. There are extraordinary problems.
But I don't think the teabaggers are...
No, wait. That's not my point.
I don't think they're processing that.
That's not my point. Yeah. The point is there's a level of anger. And as you pointed out, Mark, there's certain nutcases that are going to grab hold of that anger. But the real scary thing is there is appeal within these groups. I mean, obviously, you wouldn't have, Rush Limbaugh, you wouldn't have, Beck, you wouldn't have all these guys out there if there isn't appeal to what they are saying. And that's what scares the hell out of me. Because this group can grow and can gain momentum. And unless the Republicans particularly, like you said, start really denouncing them, they are going to grow. Not only are they going to grow, I also wonder about, and I don't want to besmirch anybody, but the connection to the military too, because I know a lot of people in the military that are also very hostile about the way things are going. This combination, this confluence of anger, of extremism, of economic crisis, et cetera, is a very dangerous time. And how we present, how we prevent it or put a cap on it, I'm not sure, but we got to do something.
Well, let me throw this out there, and on the issue of anger. I think that during the Bush administration, you know, I came to protest in D.C., to anti-war protest. The reality is there was a lot of anger on the left. There was eventually a lot of anger on the center. There was a lot of anger. People were very angry over all the tax cut money going to the wealthy. People were very angry over the wars. People were very angry. The difference is that now the people who are angry are tend to have a connection to violence.
The difference is also that anger is being fed in a way that it never was.
And let me say this also, because this is a discussion. There was an article in the New York Times the other day about that. I wish I printed this out. And this is an issue. There is somewhat of a disagreement or discussion here as to the root of the anger. There are those who are saying they're angry over the taxes. They're angry over the things that they claim to be angry over. But there are others who are saying, and this New York Times article pointed it out, it wouldn't have mattered if it was health care. It wouldn't have mattered what it was. These people are very, very angry over who they view as running this country. That it was about it, and here's the question. Let me throw this to Mark. Mark.
Because you're afraid of my answer, right. I know it.
No. You just win. We'll go to Mark, and then we'll get back to you on
you're
this.
You're scared to death. I can feel it.
The argument that was made in the New York Times is, this is about people who are very angry because there's an African-American president, and they need a way to express that anger. Actually, I had a friend of mine the other day. He said, well, you know, I heard somebody talking, and they said they were mad because they look at the White House, and they feel like Barack Obama's in power, and Rahm Emanuel's in power, and he told me that people said they're angry because they feel like the blacks and the Jews are running this country, right, and they don't have any say anymore. Hey, and that this was and this guy told me he was sitting in a room with a bunch of conservatives with no one around, and he happens to be a conservative, but he's a guy I know, real good friend, and he's an open guy. He's no racist or anything, and he told me he felt uncomfortable because of the level of the conversation, and it turned to the blacks and Jews are running this country, and we're not running it anymore, and these were all teabagger types. Mark,
Garland,
what's up with that?
You have a black president. You have a Jewish chief of staff.
Uh-oh.
You have the first Latina justice on the Supreme Court.
That's a problem.
You have a gay man who's head of the Financial Services
Attorney General's after
you have a woman who's Speaker of the House, and frankly, the most powerful Speaker of the House in two generations.
That's unacceptable.
And we have a lot of women and heads of cabinet agencies, et cetera, who are
all
very strong.
All of that together makes a certain group, and certainly I'm not saying all, but a certain group of mostly white, mostly men, many from the South, and I say this as a Southern white male, mm-hmm, although I'm not a... And many are fundamentalist Christian as well. By the way, I said this on MSNBC before Frank Rich wrote that in the New York Times, mm-hmm, and you may know Rush Limbaugh personally trashed me for it. I'm very proud of that. Thank you.
You lucky dog. I wish Rush Limbaugh would...
My name. He actually got my name right.
He actually trashed you. Mark.
Thank you.
Mark.
Yes. I've been trashed by Rush Limbaugh.
Mark, let me just say that I'm not worthy to be in your presence.
Well, actually, he called me a glittering jewel of colossal ignorance. But in any case, what Rush Limbaugh did, though, and is doing, mm-hmm, is stoking the flames, comparing Obama to Hitler. And one of the things that we brought out is a recent poll, fascinating poll, Harris poll. The Harris poll shows if you poll Republicans, 67%, two-thirds, say Barack Obama is a socialist. More than half say he wasn't, say he's a Muslim. 45% say he wasn't born in this country. 38% say he's doing what Hitler did. And 24%, this is my favorite, say he is the Antichrist. Now, there is a reason people have these sentiments, and let me suggest it has nothing to do with health care.
Get out of here.
No, it's crazy. Fine. Had it begun with cap and trade? Had it begun with immigration?
You mean the Antichrist had a health care plan?
I believe it was a very warm place down under.
No health for anyone. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I believe burning flesh. Yeah.
They actually call it a lack of health plan.
Yeah, okay.
But the point is that this racism has always been there, and sexism and homophobia, that's always been there. But you add the flames of an economic crisis, and then you add the gasoline poured on by right-wing talk show hosts, by Fox, and by, let's face it, a lot of Republican politicians, and you've got an exposure.
Darren, fill me in.
I don't disagree with the thing you're saying, but I think we
make... Okay, we'll move on back to
Mark.
As soon as I got to that, I needed it there.
Easy.
I was hoping I could stop you there.
Good luck, buddy. It's a question of focus, and I think we have to be very careful of this, because if we generalize and simplify it too much, we're going to miss the real danger. The real danger is not these nutcases at the moment. The real danger is not a few guys that use the N-word and a few guys that spit. The real danger is the gaining momentum amongst people who are angry over the way things are going in terms of government. If these fringe guys just cause a little bit of trouble and the FBI is doing their job, which obviously they're doing a pretty good job, you know, you can basically contain that. You're not going to contain all violence, just like you can't contain any terrorist activity entirely. But if this spreads, if this gains momentum because of that broader anger, then you're in trouble. So I think the question, you know, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying about the black president and the Republican views, but even the Republicans are what? Only 20% of the voters. And, you know, so only two-thirds of even them. But this deep-seated anger is not being addressed by the progressive movement. And if that isn't addressed and dealt with and empathized with and some solutions offered, then that deep-seated anger has no place to go, and it will go towards these nutcases.
Okay,
and we're in real trouble then.
So, let me throw
that's
another.
The scary part. I mean, it's exactly what happened in Germany. I mean, with the communists.
1930s. Frankly, it almost happened here.
Yeah.
If Roosevelt hadn't.
Yeah. Yes, right.
Yeah.
But I mean, between the communists and the Nazis, you know, they were both very active. The people generally decided eventually to go with one particular group, which, you know, was the Nazis, brought on again by an act of terror, supposedly the burning of the
Reichstag
fire. You know, so again, as we've already heard, and I think some people have offered, that if there's another catastrophic event of some kind, and the nutcases can claim, you know, again, that this is because of the liberals, or this is because of the progressives, or this is because of Jews, or whatever nonsense they want to claim, you've got a real social problem here. We can't underplay this. We cannot underplay this.
Let me remind our listeners, you listen to 89.3 FM WPFW, Garland Nixon.
Mark Levine.
And?
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Oh, okay. Well,
no,
well,
Terry.
We call him Terry D. Kester.
Terry Kester, yeah. Doctor of Democracy, if you really want to know.
We are on every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. We're live right here at Ben's Next Door, 1213 U Street, right next to Ben's Chili Bowl. Come out. Enjoy the show. We have a live audience, good food. We have a lot of fun. So come down here and be a part of this. Mark, let me ask you this. We just had a militia taken down the other day. Some real weird kind of alleged, you know, right-wing so-called Christian militia with some kind of outlandish ideas. Let me throw this out. This militia is taken down.
See, I don't think Jesus ever believed in killing cops, but
no.
That's just the New Testament I read.
They changed
that's
it a little.
That's the
I think this was in Texas textbooks. You have to read the textbooks they have that in there. But at any rate, what I'm saying is this. Two threats here. Number one, we've got these organized militias, which, let's face it, the FBI is usually pretty good at infiltrating these morons and taking them down. But let's look at what's happened in D.C. so far. We had an 88-year-old guy come to the Holocaust Museum, a man who was known to have sat around and just downed blacks and Jews, and they were the root of all problems in the world.
I'm sure he was very active on your neo-Nazi website.
Number two, we have a gentleman who was, unfortunately, a very mentally and emotionally ill man. The other gentleman who came and started shooting in the Capitol.
Do we have to call him gentle?
Whatever the case was.
Let's just call him a man.
Here's the thing about this guy is, he was mentally ill. And that's part of the point I'm making. These types of movements and these types of actions, number one, they have the militias. But are the militias the danger? Or is the danger from people such as this gentleman, lone wolves, the person who's maybe mentally and emotionally ill, maybe angry and just needs something to push him over the edge? They're a lot harder for law enforcement to stop. What's the problem?
Look, I'm not going to judge the mentally ill. The mentally ill are mentally ill. It's that simple. I am, however, going to judge the people who push them over the edge. Let me give you an example. I just came back from Nashville, Tennessee. In fact, I celebrated Passover with my family last night. I flew in this morning.
I'm surprised you made it back alive.
In Nashville, Tennessee, on the front page of the Nashville, Tennessee, and listen to this. There was a man. He had his kids in the car, young girls. He's driving along. He's got an Obama bumper sticker. Pretty normal, pretty usual. A guy comes, points at his bumper sticker, and starts ramming him with his truck. The guy thinks it's an accident or something.
Wow.
He pulls over to see what's going on, and the guy, again, points at the sticker, rams him hard, Apparently because of the bumper sticker. The guy was drunk, 70-year-old man, and he was determined to slam that bumper sticker. The guy had kids in the car. He was caught. By the way, he ran off, and Good Samaritan, there are Good Samaritans, absolutely, who followed him, caught him, and he faces jail time, as he should. But what there are always going to be crazy people. There's mm-hmm. always, unfortunately, going to be racists and anti-Semites and sexists, homophobic, all of that. The question is, when you rile them up, it's one thing to say, I disagree with Obama's health care bill. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with saying you disagree with a presidential program. It's quite another thing to say, it's tyranny. It's the end of freedom. And these aren't the neo-Nazis that are saying this. These are Republican leaders. They're using words that cause violence. Words that stimulate violence. Not, we disagree with this bill. Vote against it. Vote the bums out. I'm okay with that. But actually, you have 10 members of Congress, all Democrats, by the way, who have been threatened or with violence. You had a brick thrown through Louise Slaughter's place. Mm-hmm. By the way, Eric Cantor claimed that it was just a stray bullet. They've all been Democrats, and when you start to advocate violence, violence happens.
Let me throw this out there. It's interesting that one of the top Republicans referred to this bill, to the health care bill, as Armageddon.
Right, considering exactly. Armageddon.
Right. Well, let's add
what's Social Security? If this is Armageddon, Social Security must be the end of the world.
Well, but you have to consider.
If you got Armageddon, yes. You don't need the end
but
of the
you
world.
Have to consider this fact. What was it, like a third of the Republicans now, I don't think they probably didn't read this poll, but a third of the Republicans out there are saying that they believe that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. What a coincidence. And they brought up Armageddon.
Right.
So, you know, to say that these people are not feeding this is ridiculous.
It's not just the people that are feeding it. I mean, the sad fact is our culture in general is feeding this. In case you don't know, I don't know if you guys, anybody out here watches NASCAR, but, you know, they've changed the rules on NASCAR. You know, it used to be that if you bump somebody in NASCAR, you were penalized a lap or whatever. NASCAR's ratings have gone down, even though it's still the biggest spectator sport in the United States, bigger than football, you know. So now they've changed the rules that it's legal to do a draft bump, which literally is you get within inches of the car ahead of time, so you're literally drafting in his
way. In fact,
way.
That's what the guy was doing that
exactly,
Mark was talking
exactly.
about. It was a NASCAR draft bump.
And then when you want to pass him or whatever, then you use that draft to actually hit him. If you cause a wreck and kill 20 other drivers on the racetrack, that's no problem. But what's happening here is it's now carrying over into public action. And same thing happened here in Virginia. It happened on the Beltway. It's a draft bump, and they're doing it because they're seeing it on television. They're seeing it in NASCAR. They think it's great. It's a way to express their anger, to intimidate people, et cetera. It is cultural. It is political. It is economic. It is all these things. And I'm telling you, the progressives have got to figure a way to take this seriously and start countering it.
We're going to take some questions from if you're out in the audience and you have any questions, feel free. And if you're out there driving along, make sure you get down here and so you
don't
can ask your questions.
Bump, though.
Give us your name and what's your question. Or comment.
How we doing? My name is Logan. I just had a quick question as to, you referred to aggressive terminology in politics earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about Sarah Palin's hit list?
Not only did she have a hit list, Logan, but she said reload. Now, what does reload mean? If you want to say vote them all out or they're bums or I hate the members of Congress, vote them out, that's democracy. Reload. What do you reload?
Not only did she have that,
a gun.
She also had the pictures of all those congressmen in, you know, a crosshair.
That's right. In targets.
You know, on her website.
You know what's very interesting? No. She could be prosecuted for that. I'm going to give you a case.
I should hope so.
There's a case. There was a radical anti-abortion group. And what they had is they had a bunch of doctors that practiced, that
right.
do abortions.
Right, I remember this. Yeah.
And they had their pictures, and they had their home addresses. And then each time one of them was shot dead, they would show a blood coming from the picture, and the implication was clear. They didn't say kill the doctors. The implication was clear. Everyone you kill, we put this nice
little like one of these
on.
Video games.
This
where
was
they...
found beyond the limits of free speech. It was found to actually advocate violence. Mm-hmm. And I think Sarah Palin is not far from breaching the criminal law, from actually going beyond the constitutional protections, and somebody ought to bring a case.
Let me ask you this. Let me throw this. Will we have another question? We've got. Give us your name and your question or comment.
My name is Anthony. I want to talk a little bit
about
Mideast peace.
Okay.
You guys up to it?
Sure.
Well,
we're
if it connects to our topic.
If it connects to our topic. We're staying on topic. We don't want to get, you know.
There's the topic issue. I'm sorry. Then okay. I guess I'll back away.
All right. Well anyone, right. Anyone
but,
in the audience?
You know, just in case Mark and I run out of words. This topic, you come back, we'll switch to Mideast, okay?
In case you guys run out of words?
Well, it could happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
here's one of the things that I find interesting.
You know, but I'm just going to mention, you know, since he even brought it up, I mean, there's even a connection there. You know, because there are this whole Christian movement and Zionist Christians, and not all Zionist Christians, to be sure. I'm generalizing here. But there is this whole movement that believes that you have to have, you know, the Jewish people return to the Middle East, to Israel, you know, to take over completely, that you have to have that to cause Armageddon, to cause the Second Coming, etc. So again, it even does tie in indirectly, but it does tie into that as well. There's so many aspects of this that I think we have to be, as I said before, we have to be very careful of simplifying it. All the issues have to be addressed. All of the issues have to be pointed out. And somehow we've got to peacefully get it moving in a different direction, or trust me, we're going to be ducking.
This other issue that we hear from the right and we hear on Fox News all the time, they're referring to some American people, and I got to figure out who the American people are because the polls don't reflect that. Basically, what the right argues is that this health care bill went completely against what the American people want. The American people didn't want this. The American people are against it. It was shoved down the American people. To hear them talk, the bill was 90% against it. Now, if I look in the African-American community, there was overwhelming support. Sure. I look in the Latino community, there was overwhelming support. I look in the progressive community, there was overwhelming support. So who are the American people that they're referring to? Because obviously nobody in that group fits into the people, the American people. Mark, heck are these American people who have had this crushed down their throat?
Well, I think we know who they are. They're the same people who normally support the Republican Party, and the same people, you know.
People who have insurance.
But here's the thing.
Takes care of that.
You and I both know, because we were active in promoting Medicare for All way back when, that early on, you look at the polls, 90%.
You guys actually were there promoting Social Security, weren't you?
I'm not that old.
Oh, okay.
That would be
just checking.
You don't remember because that's back when you were in your middle age.
We're fighting for the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah, we were there for that too. Yeah. Is your name Dred Scott?
No, he's got a haircut.
That's right.
I'm just checking. Just checking.
No, look,
Frederick Douglass. That's what you
at the very beginning.
F. Scott Fitzgerald here. Oh, sorry about that, Mark.
Go ahead, Mark.
At the very beginning.
As you were saying, Mark.
At the very beginning, you had massive public support for everything from universal health care to a public option. Depending on what polls you read, sometimes it was up in the 80s, sometimes it was down as low as 59%. You had massive public support for health care reform. Then came all the lies. Then came Ms. Reload Palin talking about death panels and proclaiming, in effect, that the president wanted to kill grandma. All right. Then, yes, the polls, they sunk. And if you look at the most recent polls in the Washington Post, they show that the public is split. Mm-hmm. Depending on how you count it, one poll showed 49% support, 40% against. Other polls do show a majority against it. But however you calculate it, it's always within the 60-40 range. But those pouring gasoline have done is they have successfully moved it from something that most Americans support, they want to know the details, to doing something that really has the country split half and half under the same red state, blue state lines that Barack Obama was elected to try to erase.
And there's another issue that we're leaving out that we've got to, and this you know, we got to push Obama on this. The unemployment thing is a factor. You know, the average citizen is not going to give a whole hoot about anything about taxes or about deficit or anything else if they've got a job, if they've got employment, and if they're somewhat economically secure. But the unemployment figures are much higher than we're being told around the country. They're certainly much higher in the African-American community. They're certainly much higher in inner cities like Detroit, St. Louis, Kansas City, etc. There is economic insecurity, so that deficit argument really played well. And people worried about that because they can relate to that mentally, saying, geez, I'm in debt, I'm stuck, I don't have any money. So therefore, that whole argument really played well. The solution to that, obviously, is there has to be a strong jobs program immediately. Not this feeding small business. By the way, just in terms of that myth, I have to point out, do you know out of the 22 most wealthy countries in the United States, United States ranks number 21 in actual number of small business employers. Small business is not the foundation of employment in this country. It simply isn't. That's a myth. But nevertheless, we need to get conservation-type jobs, some kind of jobs program going immediately to restore some kind of economic stability and security.
We're going to go to break. Let me throw one...
Break? I wasn't done!
Well, let me throw one last thing in, and that is, I think we have to take into account that within these polls, there are a significant number of people who are unhappy with the bill because it's not progressive enough.
That's true.
They always act as though everyone there is angry because of the bill. There are a significant number of people who wanted a public option, who want a single payer, who they're not with these people who are against it. They're simply angry.
That's
you could probably take 10 or 15% and throw them over to the other side because it's not progressive enough for them.
If you actually made
that argument, it would be more like 65%. We had as much as 80% of America in favor of the public option. So that argument's ridiculous.
Well, it shows you what corporate power can do. And it's not just politicians. I mean, this is partly very much corporate power. It's lobbying to the nth degree. And it's not only lobbying, but it's the advertising and the money. And now that we have the Supreme Court decision, the corporate power to influence American opinion is stronger than ever.
And the other problem is that even when we watch the so-called people on our side on the media, no one is bringing...
Who's that?
Well, you know...
We have to take a break, guys.
Well,
Mark, you know.
But what I'm saying is that even the people on our side in the mainstream media never... Bring out the point that a significant part of that split number are people who wanted more progressive legislation. They go along, they buy into the argument and the premise that America's split right down the middle on health care. They never say, well, they're split down the middle, but you can take probably 15 or 20% out of the half that are unhappy with
the bill,
that will say we don't like it because we wanted single payer and we wanted a public option.
I think you're right. And are we taking a break?
I don't know if we're taking a break, but folks, if you
sooner,
I mean,
if you want to join us,
I was really rolling there. Now,
well, actually, there wasn't a break, Terry. That was just an excuse,
to break you.
Every 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to say we're taking. Well, look, we are taking a break. We're going to go here to a public service announcement. We will be back momentarily. 89.3
Line up
FM.
If you have a question on
the
this topic.
Raucous Caucus.
A conversation in which we all get a chance to speak, to listen, to be heard, and to collaborate to solve our problems. Participatory democracy is not just insider talk about or among winners. To be part of a genuine democracy, we all must be encouraged actively to partake in its
concept. The support of WPFW mean to you? Preservation of America's classical music, jazz, and all its extensions. Alternative news, views, and analysis not covered in mainstream media. Holistic health shows that explore a natural approach to medicine. Why do you support WPFW? Here's the answer in a nutshell. We contribute and you contribute. We contribute to your life and your community with programs that inform and entertain every day. That's our contribution. Visit us online at WPFW.org right now with yours, or simply call the membership hotline at 202-588-0999, extension 344. That's 202-588-0999, extension 344. Thanks.
Welcome back. Hello. My name is Garland Nixon. You're listening to 89.3 FM WPFW, and I'm here with...
Mark Levine.
And who this time?
Terry D. Kester, the doctor, the doctor of democracy, is in. The patient is sick. The patient is in bad shape.
Oh, gosh. And we're here. Well, we're in pretty good shape, and we're here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. You're listening to the Raucous Caucus. And if you want to check out our webpage, go to, and these are all the letters, RCNDC, as in Raucous Caucus, NDC. RC, the letter NDC.com. If you want to contact any of us, just do either Garland, Mark, or Terry at RC.
You want to try that one more time?
That's okay. They
Garland,
can't see the point
Mark,
on the radio.
Or Terry at RCNDC.com.
So just write Mark at RCNDC.com. No,
Garland,
Garland RCNDC.
Yeah, you get the picture.
And we Twitter at
So just put our name at rcndc.com and you can email us.
Yeah, that's
you guys don't have to worry because
letter,
I'll be getting all the email anyway. Yeah. Okay, on we go. The second half. Next question.
I want to respond to some of the things that Terry said, though.
Anthony's got a question.
Oh, we got a question.
Anthony's
wait a minute. All right, this is important. We got a question.
All right. Go ahead. Yep. Turn up the mic for a question.
Okay. Actually got it together this time.
All right. Hey, all right.
Really wanted to know one thing. What does an American have to do to be called a terrorist around this piece? I mean, you know, what does it
good
take?
Good point.
What does it take?
That's a very good point.
You know, let's say, I don't know, I had a grievance to get to IRS and I drive my plane into the IRS office building. Does that count?
Yeah, I think that counts.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's with the reluctance of both politicals and news types of not really, you know, calling American terrorism terrorism?
I think it's easier to call a foreigner a terrorist.
And you know what's interesting? You know what's really interesting about your point? Since all of this has happened, when's the last time you heard the word terrorist from anyone, particularly on the right? For the last several years, every other word was terrorist, terrorist, terrorist. And suddenly the word terrorist has just kind of dissipated.
Well, it does make sense to use it. I mean, those people are being charged with sedition.
Yeah.
Which means you are a traitor. If you are violent, then you're not only a traitor, but you also are a terrorist.
Anyone who advocates violence against innocent people, in my mind, is a terrorist. I don't care what your political views are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Period. Whether you're right or left or central, if you advocate killing innocent people to achieve your goals or attacking, you know, killing members of government, you don't like our government, it's very simple. Organize a campaign and vote them out of office. You can do that in a democracy.
And I want to throw one thing in, which I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, if you call Rush Limbaugh or CBS or Fox and say, hey, you guys should be using the word terrorist to describe these guys, they're probably not going to pick up on it. But I would sure as heck call NPR, which is not doing its job, and PBS, which are not doing their job because they're not using the correct language as well. And I really would call them and
say,
use the language that is correct for the crime that is being committed.
Okay, we've got another question here. Audience question.
There we go.
Okay,
hi.
And your name?
I'm Peggy.
Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
Hey,
welcome.
Peggy.
The bitch next door.
Hooray. Welcome to the Raucous Caucus, Peggy.
Okay.
I saw a gentleman on the news today that was with the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his finger removed by people that showed up at the demonstration that had more progressive views.
His finger removed?
Removed.
What does that mean?
Now, where did you see this?
Removed.
They yanked his finger off in some fashion.
Yeah.
Where did you
see
this?
So my concern is the escalation of violence on both sides.
Yeah, mine too.
I got to be clear. No violence is appropriate, period. I don't care what your cause is. I don't care. You know, I mean, you shouldn't be, as much as people want to beat up like Ku Klux Klanners, and I certainly do, no, violence is not appropriate. It just leads to more violence.
Let me take this in another direction here.
Your point is good, Peggy, because that has to be equally denounced. It truly
does. Absolutely.
I mean, that is certainly a criminal activity and everything else, and that guy is certainly a scumbag, whoever did it. You know, and it has to be denounced.
And the interesting thing is, but we have to denounce this stuff, unlike certain others.
Yeah.
Now, let me take this in a different, totally different direction here. You know, we're watching people like John Lewis, icons of the civil rights era, being called names. We're watching African Americans being spat on. We're watching neo-Nazis talking about the Jewish conspiracy. We're seeing all of this stuff from the far right, and it's not being addressed by the powers that be. It's not being argued against. It's not being put down. It's not adequately being addressed by the powers that be in the Republican Party. Here's my question. I look at Michael Steele, and I just think to myself, how in the name of crap can any black person be in a Republican Party anymore and look themselves in the mirror and say, wow, you know, this is the place for me? How can you, if you're a minority, if you're gay, if you're black, or whatever,
how can you stay in
the Republican Party?
Did you not see he spent $9,000 at the Beverly Hills Hotel?
Well, guess we know why.
He's busy.
He's busy.
He's busy. And all those other RNC members are busy at the strip clubs? I mean, look, you know, they're living the high life. What do they have to care about America?
But I mean, your point is interesting. I mean, I had the disprivilege, you know, of having that 1.5-hour on-the-air argument with Don King at the Republican National Convention. And trust me, arguing with Don King is very exhausting. It's not, it's even harder than arguing with Mark, if you can imagine that.
Wow.
Yeah, it really is, you know, because Don King is nuts. But he is a devout Republican. I mean, he truly is. And I mean, there's something going on here that you've got to understand, too. There's a class problem here that we're not addressing. Now, we like to pin everything on racism, and we like to put it there, but it's bigger than that. Again, I keep on stressing this. It is a class problem.
And yet, Terry, I got to tell you, a lot of the people in the Tea Party are not upper class. A lot of them are not very wealthy.
I know that.
Are working class.
No, you're missing my point. You're missing my point. If you've got $5 billion like Don King, obviously the system works real well for you.
Right, I understand that.
You know, and so therefore you're going to tend to be Republican.
I understand that.
Makes sense.
But the point
I'm making is this is a class division as well.
Yeah,
this
but
truly
here's,
is.
Here's my,
the people that are going to respond the most are the people who are unemployed, who are dissatisfied, who don't have a job, who don't have, you know, a good education. Those are the ones who are going to respond to violence most. That's just a simple fact.
Here's my beef with what you've been saying all along.
Beef?
Yes, because you've been talking about high unemployment among blacks. You've been talking about rich people. A lot of this base is white working class people, people who actually benefit from the health care plan, people who actually benefit from the stimulus package.
Eventually will,
but
not
they
now.
Don't know they are, right? People
right.
who, let's
face it. I
have no
it, disagreement with
who, that. You know, so, and they're not all racist. Many
no.
of them are. Not
no,
all of them
not.
Are. Some of them, there's a hurting, and they don't know who to blame.
That's exactly
and
what I'm
Republican
saying.
Party
you are in
comes,
exact agreement.
Comes forward and
yeah.
says the government's to blame.
Yeah.
And let's face it, there was a lot of anger that elected Barack Obama, angry at the government giving money to Wall Street, the government allowing them to control everything. And now the Republicans are taking some of that same legitimate anger.
That's exactly.
The
you,
same
you
that elected
total
Barack Obama, and they're turning it upside down, and they're saying, elect us. We hate the government.
And
you
me,
hate the government? We
right.
hate the government.
Mark and I are in so much agreement. I have to give him the $2 bet
there, it's
that
about
we made.
Time.
What this $2
well,
is for, by the way.
Yeah, and let me throw this out there.
Let's
look at it this way. We've been in this bubble bust economy. Every 10 years we go in recession. You know, 1980, 81, or 79,
this
or 80.
This is not the same.
There's a recession.
This is not the same. Do not make that mistake.
Well, let me say this. There's been recessions every 10 years. There's
this
been some
not
nasty
a recession.
Recessions.
That is not
not
the
to
same.
This level. Here's my point. But we never saw anything like this. And I'm saying this. You're not going to convince me that every person at that Tea Party is unemployed and is running the street and is angry. There are a whole lot of people at that Tea Party who are employed and are doing okay, but they are mad because there's a black president. Well, we've got a question. Let's take a question from the audience because he probably has more sense than all three of us put together. You can bend your mic back and let us know. Give us your name. Fill us in.
Hello, I'm Thad.
Hey, Thad.
Basically, I just want an opinion. I was at the, I was at the Motor Vehicle Administration in Annapolis last week, and just going in to get my tags changed, and outside of the doorway on the entranceway to there, they had a booth that was giving out paraphernalia on Barack Obama, with saying impeach Barack Obama. As well as having the picture of him with the Hitler mustache and this kind of thing. My whole thing is that, yeah, I know this is a nation where we can have our opinions, and we like for people to have opinions, but that seemed like the wrong place to have
this is a government office?
A government office building, the MVA, right near the entrance, on the sidewalk, right where you go through the door.
Did you say something to the people at the DMV? Because you should have a permit
they might not have
to be on a public
place. Well, that's what I'm saying, on a public place.
I'm just curious, Todd, did you say something to the people at the DMV?
Like, I did.
What did they tell you?
They didn't say anything because, you know, the people that I talked to, I guess they weren't in charge.
Huh.
But and the thing about it is it's interesting.
That's amazing.
And the point you make, and that is this. Because when we look at these people, their ire is not pointed at the government or the system.
No, like, only when there's a black president.
It's at Barack Obama.
Because where were they 3 years ago?
Right.
Where were they? If they hate the government, why weren't they protesting Bush and Dick Cheney, who was going around spying and torturing people?
No problem.
Where were they?
Now, they're angry over the deficit. However, when the people were creating a deficit, when the people were starting two wars and not paying for them, when the people were giving tax cuts to the rich and not paying for them, when the people were creating the deficit, they had no problem. In fact, I'll say this. Up to about November 5th of last year, they didn't really have a problem with the deficit. November 6th, they woke up and they said, holy crap, there's a deficit here.
Garland, I've already explained that. I hate to repeat myself, and I rarely do it, but...
well,
hey, hold
so
on.
So let's
hey,
not.
Hey,
now.
What is going on out there? You know, the difference, I mean, you know, go back to Clinton if you want.
I was just going to do that.
It's the economy, stupid. I'm sorry for calling you stupid. But, you know, that's what it is. You have to understand what insecurity that creates in
but
people.
There's more we have to learn from the Bill Clinton era.
I know, okay. I know there's more, but you're asking why there wasn't anger. There's never going to be anger in a society when people are basically making a job and buying money, be it on credit or buying money, spending money on credit or whatever they're doing. They're not going to be insecure. They're not going to get riled up. The average person is not going to have that. Give them economic security. Check your history books. Then they're going to get riled
Terry,
up.
Terry, you're right about Mark, the economy, no
give
doubt.
Give me my $2.
No. I'm going to get to your $2 in a second. You're right about the economy, but I think we also have to remember something else from the Clinton days that's too easily forgotten.
Okay.
And there was a very rich billionaire. I guess most billionaires are pretty rich, but this is a particularly rich billionaire by the name of Richard Mellon Scaife,
mm-hmm.
who spent literally hundreds of millions of dollars, I think more than $1 billion, looking for dirt on Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
The reason wasn't because there was a black president, Garland.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there was a Democratic president. And the impeach Bill Clinton movement began the minute Bill Clinton became president. They couldn't find anything he'd done illegal or wrong, so they went after his sex life. This is something that the Republicans have done. You talk about Lee Atwater. There's a tradition now of making our presidents illegitimate. I mean, why is it that they're saying not that we disagree with Barack Obama, not that we're sorry we lost the election, but that the guy wasn't even born in the United States? I mean, crazy stuff. The guy's a Muslim. Why are they using such crazy things? Because they know they cannot beat him legitimately. And because they know what legitimately, when he gets the argument out, if it were just over what the health care bill does, people actually like the health care. And that's why I have $2 in my hands right now.
They aren't real.
Because
aren't
I real. Believe the government can work, and Terry does not. And I got to say that, and y'all were all here just a few months ago.
Yeah.
First of all, Terry bet me that we would not see health care reform this year in 2010. I said, we will. I'm going to get a dollar if we do. And I got that dollar. And then I want you to know we did double or nothing. I said in February, just a month ago, that we will get health care reform. I thought we'd get it this month, but I hedged my bets.
You actually said by June.
I said by June.
So you're wrong. Give me that dollar back.
I said before June.
Yeah.
We got it before June. And let me just say with these $2 in my hand that there is proof that the Democrats can govern, not perfectly, but they can do it. The president can be strong. He can be a leader. And he surprised even Terry DeKester. So thank you for these $2.
You're welcome.
I will put
You're
them
welcome.
In my pocket.
And it looks like we have another question coming here. But first,
okay.
And I'll make this point, and this is the good thing about this show.
I think I should be congratulated
this is the good
for
thing
being
about
a man
this show,
of honor.
And
don't
I'll make
you think
this,
so?
Make this
you
point.
Paid your
a
bet.
A man of honor, yeah.
I'll make this point, and this is the great thing about this show. Terry and I have a profound difference of opinion here.
No.
A profound difference
no.
of opinion. And I understand that because that's the difference of opinion that's in society. Some people feel that this anger is stoked by the unemployment, is stoked by the economic problems. And there are those of us, I'd say people like me, who believe that the anger is based in racism and anger over a black president and has absolutely zero to do with economic.
And there are people like me that say it's not either or, but both and. You're both right. There are
yes.
racists in the
yes.
Tea Party. There are people
That's
who are economically harming
yeah.
the Tea Party. You're both right.
And
I
there are
that.
People like
Kumbaya.
Anthony.
Can't we all get along?
And there are people like Anthony
Kumbaya.
Standing at the mic here who are going to set us all straight.
I just think that we do ourselves a disservice when we in any way dismiss the role that race is playing here. I mean, there's no concept more fundamental to America than racism. And it's been that way, will always be that way. So, you know, I think that going into this situation, Barack Obama was putting himself in a deficit, and the piling on, you know, came primarily, even initially, through those irrational concepts, those irrational positions, were all about, in one way or another, him being the other. It's all
right.
about him being basically, fundamentally, a black man. So a black man and a poor economy with two wars might have exacerbated the situation, but first of all, do you think Dick Cheney would be getting these sort of attacks? I'm sorry. Do you think John McCain, excuse me, would be getting these sort of attacks? I mean,
no.
Mind you, that the economy would have been worse because his answer to everything was to cut taxes. You know, the wars would have been worse because his answer to everything was to double down. But, I mean, you know, he wouldn't have been seeing any of these attacks, and it's because he's not a black man.
I still think that I'm not disagreeing with you or with Garland on that one little bit. I do think it misguides us to overstate that. And I only mean that in the sense, I mean, you know, come on, look at history. I mean, you think Hoover did well as a Republican, you know, during the Depression? I mean, are you kidding? You know, I mean, you destroy the economy, you're going to destroy almost anybody who's in office at the top. It just goes without saying. It just happens every single time.
Right.
So a lot of this, but my fear is, and this is why I keep on making the point, my fear is not what is happening today, but what will happen or can happen tomorrow because of these other factors that are just as important. And my fear is the spread of this, be it racism, be it extremism, be it anti-Semitism, you know, be it violence in the streets, be it bump drafting, all of that is going to spread unless we address the major issues that are gripping the majority of the population. I am not discounting race, Garland, not at all. But that's only the beginning of what can really go sour here.
Mark, a question. I was driving here on the way here, and I saw some guy going by me with, and you know the little flags that you fly out of the side of your car,
sure.
Like the Redskins or Cowboys or whatever? Redskins. We don't say Cowboys around here.
I don't even like Redskins because I think it may be offensive to Native Americans, but that's
well,
a whole
other thing. If you met Dan Snyder, you know it's offensive, but that's another story.
There's a guy with two flags, and they had the little Southern X on them. And
you mean the Dixie flag?
Yes.
The battle flag.
Yes, the battle flag. That's not even the Confederate flag.
That's
right. The battle flag. My question is this. Are we getting to a point where we are really in danger of something nasty happening, of somebody really trying to kill a congressman or blow up a synagogue or shoot a bunch of innocent, you know, see a black man and a white girl or vice versa or whatever walking down the street and say, you know, I'm going to kill. Are we at a point where these people are getting so stoked up that there's going to be some random violent acts?
Absolutely.
Yes.
In fact, if you notice FBI statistics, hate crimes are in the increase. Hate crimes against blacks, hate crimes against Jews, hate crimes against gay people. And I think the reason these things are going up, we have to look at the code words. Because, Terry, a lot of people who complain about the economy use certain code words. And let's face it, a lot of people, when they talk about welfare, a lot of white people, they're thinking about blacks. Fair or unfair, even though more whites get welfare than blacks. Some people, when they talk about banks, they're talking about Jews, even though Jews don't run the banks in America. There are certain code words, particularly, Garland's looking right now at his neo-Nazi site.
I got to read this.
There are code words that people use in ways, it's just like Strom Thurmond used to talk about states' rights when he really meant segregation.
Read this for you. Once again, this comes off of a website called stormfront.org, who's run by Don Black. It's run by Don Black, former KKK Grand Wizard. It is a hate site. They have their Hitler page, and I guess all hate sites have to have your Hitler page. But at any rate, so I went onto the forums, and I'll read some of the things, and this is under Tea Parties. We certainly, I've already read earlier that some of these people who are members of the Stormfront page are actually organizing Tea Party events. But let me read. Now, this comes from, this particular gentleman goes by the name of Whites Forward. Bring Ernst Zundel home. We got another Ernst Zundel story. But at any rate, so here's what he says. In terms of major goals for tomorrow, this is what I was thinking. And tomorrow was their Tea Party event the next day. Now, here are his major goals. One, assertion of independence of the Tea Party crowd from the Democrats and the Republicans. Two, rejection of the neocons. Three, mass white rejection of the leftist thugs. Four, assertion of the pressing issues I mentioned that take the consciousness beyond the realm of taxes to the realm of racial polarization and struggle. Immigration, mortgage crisis, bailouts of banks and major corporations, unemployment, wars for Israel, affirmative action, non-white crime. We have people right here who are white supremacists. This is the website that Richard Poplawski, the individual that killed three police officers in Pittsburgh and tried to kill nine more, this is the website that he was a member of. We have people who are neo-Nazis, white supremacists, writing on their website, when we have our Tea Party event tomorrow, we want to talk about taxes and all of this crap, when the fact is, the only thing they want to do is promote white supremacy, promote neo-Nazism, and promote their violence. Mark.
Garland, it's worse than that, because...
It's worse than that?
Yes, it is.
We're in a world of hurt then, buddy.
Let me tell you why. Because this awful, disgusting hate group has tens of thousands of people who listen.
It's about 50,000.
Fine, 50,000. Rush Limbaugh has tens of millions of people who listen to him. Rush Limbaugh said on the air, now he's doing a weird thing. He's actually attacking Hitler and comparing Obama to Hitler. So let me give you two comments that Rush Limbaugh made just this week. Actually, last week. He said, number one, that Bart Stupak was just like Neville Chamberlain, the British Prime Minister who gave up everything in appeasement to Hitler.
Which he didn't, but anyway.
To Barack Obama's Hitler, all right? He then went on to say, and this is when he was attacking me, that he didn't talk about Hitler yesterday. He had talked about it the day before yesterday, but not yesterday. And so that's ridiculous. And then he went on to say the first thing the National Socialists did, calling the Nazis, you know, National Socialists, first thing they did was try to nationalize health care. Now, first of all, I don't know if there's any truth to that.
If there's not.
Second of all, I don't care. One of the things the fascists did, Mussolini, is he made the trains run on time. Are you telling me that anyone in Amtrak who makes the trains run on time is a fascist? Maybe Vice President Biden, who likes trains, maybe he's a fascist too. You see how their logic works. He says, well, the Nazis supported nationalization of healthcare. Again, I seem to recall their healthcare vicious experiments where they put people to death and where they, you know, did horrible freezing and awful. To me, that's Nazi healthcare.
Actually, Germany was the first country to start working on national health care in 1873.
Fair enough.
So his argument
is but they didn't really have it until after World War II.
The point is this. The point is not about Nazi health care, obviously. The point is that he's not saying Obama is Hitler up front, but with code words, he's saying, yes, Obama is Hitler. Be afraid. We fear tyranny. We fear totalitarianism. You've got to protect your country against what's going to end up as gas chambers. He is making that kind of ridiculous.
Okay, but
well, think about this.
And he's far more dangerous than Stormfront.
Hitler drank water, and Barack Obama drinks water.
There you go.
That
he's doing something Hitler did.
Yep. Okay. We got 5 minutes, and you know the thing that bothers me the most about all this, because this is frightening, and I'm not denying anything that we're hearing here. Don't misunderstand me at all. But the real question is, what the hell do we do about it? And we haven't even addressed that. We've only got a few minutes, but we better start thinking about what we as individuals, as citizens, as organizers, as radio hosts, whatever, what do we do about it? Yammering about it and telling us how bad it is isn't enough. We have to go further.
I got my program.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, number one, call them out. Do exactly what we're doing here.
Yes. That's done.
But that's very important because there's not enough calling out going on by anybody. Number two, if the DMV allows Tea Party people to put a little table outside the DMV, then progressive supporters of healthcare have to put our own table next to the DMV. We need to be there as out loud and as spoken. And every place they are, we need to be as well. Because I'll tell you something. One of the best ways to stop Ku Klux Klan rallies is when people started doing counter rallies. Don't deny them the right to speak, but have massive more people out there. And one of the best things we did, when the Tea Party people were calling John Lewis the N-word, calling Barney Frank the F-word, spitting on Eldridge Cleaver, out came the next day a vast army of progressives supporting health care, and we overwhelmed the Tea Party.
And this is crucial. When we have this Million Gun March, which is happening
That's happening April 19th, which is the anniversary of the day that Timothy McVeigh blew up the Oklahoma City
the day before Hitler's birthday.
If we aren't out there as progressives, as peace lovers, whatever the heck we want to call ourselves, if we aren't out there saying this is wrong in some very positive way.
Let me just throw a bit of.
By the way, did you know what their slogan is on this?
The Second Amendment March?
The Second Amendment March. They said they're not going to bring any weapons this time.
Well, actually, they're having one in...
That's a threat of violence.
They're not going to bring the guns
They're having one in D.C. where there's no guns. Having one in Virginia where there will be weapons. So I would argue it may not be a good idea to counter-protest there.
No. We can't be afraid of violence.
First of all,
we need to be out there. We need to be
it's scary, but we...
Speak for yourself there, buddy. KKK protest.
Listen, 89.3 FM. Okay. We can be heard throughout the greater metropolitan Washington area. Everyone within the sound of our voice can make it to Washington for a counter-protest. People need to be...
Okay, amen. First of all, let me do some credits. Drew Franklin has been our engineer. Couldn't happen tonight without him. Yeah. Thank you, Drew. And awesome, man. This guy's awesome. We want to thank T. Sturdivant back at WPFW doing the board on that. We want to thank our lovely and beautiful producer,
Gladys
Brooks. I'm telling you guys, just to get here, forget us. If you can just come here to see Gladys, it's worth your wait and go. Okay, next we want to thank Nizam and the people and Logan and everybody here at Ben's Next Door for hosting us.
Hey,
we want to thank our audience. And we want to thank everyone at WPFW 89.3 FM. Now, if you want to check out our show, we're here every Tuesday. When are we here, Terry?
Tuesday nights, 7
time,
o'clock.
Mark?
7 p.m.
7 o'clock.
And we're right here.
At Ben's Next Door, 1213 U Street.
Yeah, it sounds great. Well, guys, I think we've had a great conversation. We got a couple more minutes.
Tell them how to reach us. Give us the website.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Twitter,
the
all
website,
that
that's RCNDC, and all letters, RCNDC.com.
Raucous Caucus NDC.
Yeah, RCNDC.
With the letter N.
Right. Or Garland at RCNDC.com. That's
or
my email.
Mark, M-A-R-K, at RCNDC.com.
Terry at RCNCD.com. And our blog, Raucous Caucus. It's on blogspot.com.
No, we're just RCNDC.com.
RCNDC.com. We even have a Twitter, at RCNDC, right?
Oh, this is awesome.
Right?
Okay.
We got web people. They're handling this because none of us are competent.
And thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for our audience.
All right.